page 39, text 23. Sanjata Bhagavat Chakya Tatkalam Kilachoditaha Sisrikshayam Matim Chakre Purva Samskara Samskritaha Tadarsha Kevalam Dwantam Nanyat Kim Apisarvataha. This verse 23 talks about the birth of Lord Brahma. Translation. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions. But he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. A second translation of this verse. Upon his birth, Lord Brahma, directed by Bhagavat Shakti, the personal potency of the Supreme Lord, contemplated the matter of creation according to the tendencies shaped by his previous lives, purva samskaras. But he could see nothing but darkness in all directions. Purport. Brahma's impulse for creation arises solely from his previous impressions. Second way to say it. Brahma's attempt to create is only the result of impulses shaped by his previous situations. In other words, his previous actions and karmas. All jivas get their nature conformably to their impressions of previous births, and accordingly their activity can have a beginning. In other words, all jivas get their natures and personalities according to such a process as we hear about Brahma. And by the dint of that nature, the jiva's actions and attempts take shape. Next sentence. It is called, quote, the unseen, or the result of one's previous deeds. This is known as the unseen result of karma fall. Brahma's natural impulse is formed according to the nature of the deeds done by him in the previous kalpa. Some of the eligible jivas also attain to the office of Brahma in this way. What that means is that, which everyone's heard many times, is that any particular jiva, tatastha jiva, who he strictly observes all the samskaras of Varnashram Dharma for 100 births, he can attain the post of Lord Brahma. So this verse is discussing the first living entity in the material universe, Brahma, and how he is a byproduct, or his existence and his actions are a byproduct of his previous actions. In Sanskrit, the verse uses the words purva samskara samskritaha. So samskritaha means impressions, right? What's drawn and carved and drawn in the mind, in the slate of the mind, or in the clay of the mind. It's molded and shaped according to our purva samskaras. So purva means previous, what we did before, and samskaras has different meanings. But one meaning of samskara is the actual purificatory rites. There's dasavita samskaras. There's 10 rites or religious rituals and observances that are undergone by a civilized human being. And they are to elevate the consciousness from ignorance to passion to goodness, and ultimately to bring one to the transcendental plane and mukti, liberation. So that's called purva samskaras. So what we do in our last life determines this life. So it's the same thing with Lord Brahma. So we have so many examples in our modern history of people that exhibit in this life fantastic abilities and qualities and skills which were inherited and carried over from their last life. Generally, it's said that the material activities that we engage in, the money we make in last life or the abilities that we acquire, they're lost with the passage of births or the change of body. But it's not always so. And at least for sure, the samskaras or the trajectory or the tendencies for particular activities, those are carved in the mind. So we're thinking of examples, which we mentioned before, of someone like Mozart. Mozart was a European. He was born, I suppose, in Switzerland or Germany or somewhere. And he lived about 150, 180 years ago. And he was a great composer, a musical composer on piano. He was the master, Mozart, of symphony and all these things. And he started composing when he was 4 years old. He never went to music school. He didn't study music and music theory and music appreciation and music 101 and music 201 and get his degree and nothing like that. And when in his autobiography, he said, "I was just seeing the music in the sky." He was just seeing notes floating through the sky. And so this is an example of Purva Samskara. And then the other one in the music field that I think of is from our side, our Indian side, is Ravi Shankar, or Shankar, because his name is Shankar, Ravi Shankar, who is himself on the liner notes, what are they called? I think liner notes of one of his albums. He said, "I have perfected this art of sitar over 11 different births, over 11 lifetimes." And for those of us in ISKCON, we maybe remember one small book that was made from a conversation that Prabhupada had with John and Yoko. And that conversation was formulated into a book of the title Search for Liberation. So we know what kind of liberation John Lennon got. But at any rate, in that conversation, I believe it was that conversation or that book included a letter where Prabhupada wrote that, John Lennon in his last life, Prabhupada is like giving this revelation to the world as if he's some kind of Bhrigu reader or something. There's either a letter included in that book or in the course of that book the discussion is there. And Prabhupada says, yes, this John Lennon in his last life, he was a Calcutta gentleman. He lived in India in Calcutta. He was a Bengali, and he was, or maybe a Marwari. He just said he was a Calcutta gentleman, and he was very charitable to musical artists. Just like in ancient days, the kings would keep different musicians. Like Tan Singh was a court musician of Akbar, and he was paid quite handsomely for his performances and abilities, which he learned from Haridas Swami. So, like this. Prabhupada is even pointing out that in the last life you were a Calcutta gentleman, and because of that, because you were a patron of the arts, then you've been blessed by Saraswati in this life to have, because you helped the artist and you were blessed and you carried over that Purva Samskar of doing good works for artists, and you were rewarded in this life by being a fantastic musician, and that goes without saying that John Lennon was an incredible composer and musician. Something like Mozart in his own, he could play any instrument and play any kind of melody. He was a master of music. So these are Purva Samskaras. So the first person that shows the example of Purva Samskaras is Lord Brahma. And this verse is discussing it. This term, when they say samskaras, it means that we engage in particular activities in this life and they create mental impressions. I sometimes use the term mental grooves, like a groove or a etching or a cutting, like you cut into metal, and that stays in the mind and it comes up next life and it sends you in a particular direction. Just like a child born in a Brahmin family, generally there are some samskaras or some tendencies within his brain, within his mind, to be a Brahmin. In other words, if he takes up the guna and karma of a Brahmin, he studies, and performs the activities, patan patan, yajan yajan, dan pratigraha, and the six, these sat karmas of a Brahmin, and exhibits the qualities and is trained, then it's easier for him to be a Brahmin, because he has the samskaras for it. There's one, and so, where although anybody can be trained, like bell metal turns to gold by an alchemical process, so any person from any category, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, he can be trained as a Brahmin. But if he's taking his first birth as a Sudra, he'll be creating, by his brahminical practices and actions, he'll be creating samskaras in his brain for brahminical activities in his next life. And those samskaras aren't there by birth, whereas they are in the Brahmin's child, usually. Not always. You may have, you know, King Vena for your son or something. He was like, I don't know, maybe he was a Kshatriya, I guess, of some sort. At any rate, this is samskaras. Another term that's used is vasana. Vasana. Vasana means that it's material impulses or material desires. So knowing that this is the nature of the human mind, that it's impressionable, and the impressions that we feed into the mind and the actions that we perform will determine the shape of our destiny and the shape of our mind. There is a whole aspect of sadhana bhakti or sadhana bhajan which develops the mind. And that's the third limb of bhakti known as smaranam. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Right? So smaranam is all about this process, and Jiva Goswami discusses in Bhakti Sandarbha, and Vishnu Chakravarti and Rag Bhartman and Chandrika, and so many places it discusses how the mind that is dwelling upon a particular desire, particular form, and particular occupation, engagement, the mind will take shape of that. And so knowing that, then you consciously send to the mind, or you consciously meditate on the Lord, and on the, at least at a certain given time, according to Guru's instructions, or one's own personal revelation from Chaitya Guru, Diksha Guru, or Shiksha Guru, one will meditate on the particular, his own particular sarup, or the sarup that he's desiring. And that starts to get etched in the mind. For example, in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, there's a story of King Paranjana becomes a woman. I know this story. The allegorical story. It's allegorical, it's also real. There's millions and millions of men every day becoming women. And there's millions and millions of women every day becoming men. I mean, well, sometimes before they die even. But especially after they die. So he explains there in the fourth canto how Paranjana, how he was so much attached to the queen. When the queen would sit, he would sit. When she would stand, he would stand. When she would eat, he would eat. When she would speak, he would reply. He was completely just moving and shaping his whole mind and thinking, feeling, willing, and actions around the movements, thinking, feeling, willing of his beloved queen. So sure enough, that was creating Stri Rup within his man. Within his, it was his vasana. He was creating a particular rup, because your form that you have existing in your mirror today, when you look in the mirror, that form, that nose, that eyes, that hair, everything, that was created in your mind in last life by your actions. So therefore, there's verses in 11th canto and 3rd canto and 2nd canto, 1st canto, where these points are made, how that there's one example given in 11th canto. There's one little, he's like a little bug or something, some kind of little bug. And then he's flying around, and his enemy is this bigger bug, this big wasp. And this big wasp, he catches him, and he takes him live, he catches him live, and he takes him back to his house. And there he has like a little, like something like a honeycomb. But like wasps, they make a home that has kind of a hexagon-shaped cells, like a bee, like a honeybee. So then he puts this little guy, this little bee, inside that hole, in that cell, in that prison house. Then he and his buddies start filling up closing the door with little mud and different things. And the little guy is kind of stuck in there with some glue and different kinds of things. So the bug is stuck in this little prison, and he's looking out. And he's watching, you know, they're gradually cementing the hole to his little prison there, and the air is getting less, and his breathing's becoming harder. So he's simply meditating on this predator or his enemy. And then he dies thinking of this wasp. And because he's completely absorbed in thinking of this wasp at the last few moments or hours, I don't know how long it takes to finish off the doorway, then he gets the next life, he gets that same body. Just like the worm becomes a bird, and the bird becomes a cat, and the cat becomes a dog, and the dog becomes a tiger, and you know, they go like this, right? So the Bhagavatam, that verse is there, and it discusses in the purport in the same way. So what we meditate on, our mind takes the shape of that. So we meditate that, oh, I want to attain a pure spiritual body for the, you know, Jivera Sorupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Every bhakta and every temple is, here's this line from the Bengali shloka about the nature of the jiva. Jivera Sorupaya Krishnara. Jivera Sorup. What is the Sorup of the jiva? Nitya Krishnadas. So so we develop the vasana, we develop the desires of becoming Krishnadas. So then those desires will take shape in a particular rupam. As our desire for service becomes pure, then our sarup becomes revealed. When we have a pure desire for service, then the sarup is revealed. Jivera sarupaya Krishnara Nityadas. So in the beginning, it's just like, well, I'm Krishna's servant, I have to serve Krishna. Or we're chanting around and around and around and around and around and around and around on the beads, Maha Mantra. And we're saying, oh, engage me in service, engage me in service, engage me in service. And the classic joke they always tell is that you chant for 2.5 hours, 3 hours, engage me in service, engage me in service. Then the temple commander comes up and says, oh, Krishnadas, I know it's very nice you just got initiated. Can you do some service for the deities? Hey! What? I have to take prasadam now. I can't, you know. So it's like, you chat for 3 hours, give me service, and you're supposed to be cultivating this bhavana, this seva bhavana, this vasana of only desiring, and so this creates etchings and impressions, I'm a servant, dasasmi, and then as soon as the opportunity comes where someone wants to engage on service of Guru Granga, you say, oh, gee, can't you find anybody else? I'm really busy. I have a lot to do. So please don't mind, but sorry, no. So it will take some time till the mind becomes full of these desires. So this is here from the very first person, Brahma's birth. He has these Purva samskaras. So just like, well, the verse that Prabhupada often uses when he discusses about the lines in your hand and the lines in your forehead, and then the indications in your ahura, or your Janma Kundali, your, what do you call it? Horoscope. Those are all, if it's good horoscope, those all coincide to indicate Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir, which we mentioned before. That you get a particular birth, wealth, beauty, strength, education, knowledge, according to what? Your Purva Samskaras. What you did previously. If you were a very charitable man, you were like a businessman in last life. You weren't very intelligent. You weren't that intelligent. But you had a lot of money. So you opened up so many vidyalayas, Sanskrit vidyalayas and this vidyalaya, and you opened so many schools and gave so much for education. So what will you get next life? You'll become vidvan. Next life you'll be born very intelligent, very learned man. That'll be the blessings. So these things are like that. So if you don't do anything pious, you don't do any charity, you don't do anything this life, next life you'll be empty. Well, no, you'll have an empty bank account. Like people have money this life because they did a lot of piety in last life. If you don't give charity, you know, everyone says, oh, I got all this money. It's for me. And I keep it all for myself. And next life, you ain't got nothing. Because you only get back what you put in. Right? Yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva vajamiham. So when you, and so all the there's 20 different Dharma Shastras which guide the ashrams and varnas. And if you follow them, you get the result. If you don't, then you get another result. You get the result of not following. So these are some things. So this in the 11th canto, this verse is this word is described vasana, and they say this is equal to karma bijam, deeply rooted material desires. So that's the basic points of this verse. That Lord Brahma, he's the archetypal jiva. Just like other jivas start their next lives on the basis of their previous impressions and actions, so does Brahma. In this case, from a previous kalpa, or his day, which can be his lifetime. A day of Brahma is like a lifetime, right? So we have our karmas are carrying over, you know, in 10 seconds. You die, when this body is finished its allotted destiny, then 10 seconds later you have a new body. Pretty fast. It's so important. We place so much importance in this body. Hey, you know who I am? You know, I'm somebody really special. You know, 5'2", eyes of blue. You know, I'm really special. Watch out. Really. You know, and if I finish you off in 1 second, 10 seconds later, you're something else. So in 10 seconds, you have a whole new identity. Today you're a man, tomorrow you're a dog. In 10 seconds, you may be a pig in Vrindavan. Harivo! Just this section of verses, this section here, verses 22 through 28, talks about Brahma's birth and his initiation. So it's like us. We take birth and we do all kinds of things due to the impulses of our previous life. In his case, his impulses were creation, because he was the creator. So then, but he was like, he forgot a little bit what it was all about. Although he's supposed to be a creator, he was a little bit in darkness. And then, okay. Then he got a mantra, but he approached that, he got diksha, and he got a guru, and he got diksha, and he got a mantra, but he kind of like transposed, I don't know if he transposed the right word, but he dovetailed or overlapped his material desires on top of that sadhana, and he didn't get he kind of got a mixed result. He got the material blessings of and realization and power to create, and he also got some vague idea of his eternal identity, and then went on and on more and more. Then he heard Krishna's flute, and then he got full revelation and acquaintance with the ocean of truth, and then something about his own nature of his sarup. But not the Ekadash Bhav he didn't get, at least immediately.